104.3 FM University Radio Network presents The Good Morning Wake-Up Show, a radio show for the English-speaking community in Puerto Vallarta and Banderas Bay, with your host, Michael Nolan. Welcome.
Hello, everybody, and good morning. Welcome to the Good Morning Wake-Up Show with your host, Michael Nolan, here on University of Guadalajara Radio, 104.3 FM. I want to say happy June 15th. Did I say May? I sure did. Happy June 15th, everybody. I hope you're having a great day. Believe it or not, we had a tiny bit of rain on Thursday evening. It wasn't enough to do anything much. I've been hoping it'd rain really hard for about an hour to wash all my solar panels off. But anyway, it was better than nothing. Out where I live in Nuevo Vallarta, it doesn't rain near as much as it does down in the Bay of Banderas, Puerto Vallarta area that we call Old Town or the Romantic Zone. They're just so much closer to the mountains, and I guess it's the humidity and the water that builds up off the bay that kind of clashes with the mountains right downtown, and it rains down there a lot more than it does out farther to the north, out by Bucerías and San Pancho and that. But anyway, the rains are coming. It is the busy time for the weather forecasters. They actually have about a 2 or 3 week period in the whole year that they have to work. The rest of the time it's sunny and 75-80 degrees. But about 2 or 3 weeks a year, they have to talk about the rain and this, that, and the other. And one thing I want to point out, we all know when it rains down here, it rains hard, and it rains a lot. And it'll probably start here pretty soon. So we need to be proactive. And one thing I want to suggest is everybody, please, pick up trash. If you're walking around and you see paper, you see straws, you see styrofoam cups, you see whatever, pick 3 or 4 or 5 of them up and put them in a trash can, because what happens when it really, really does rain hard, especially down in the Old Town and the hotel zones where the hills are coming down off the mountains into the bay, all that trash that's 5 or 6 blocks inland will be picked up by the water and washed right out into the bay, and that just pollutes the beaches. It causes a lot of problems for all the marine life that live in the bay waters. So please, let's be proactive right now. I know a lot of the resorts and that are cleaning up the beaches, and that's fabulous. It's really great that they do that. But we need to clean up the whole part of Puerto Vallarta, 6, 8, 10 blocks inland, because that's where all the trash comes from. Like I mentioned, the water that comes off the mountains picks up every single thing that will float and just washes it right into the bay. And so let's be proactive. Everybody today, tomorrow, the next day, when you're walking around, if you see some trash, pick it up. You know, you don't got to spend your whole day doing it, but you can do that. And then when it does rain, all that stuff won't get washed into the bays. And like I said, all the marine life won't have any problems. So let's be proactive, okay? Well, the University of Guadalajara, we've had quite a busy week over here. Even though the summer semester is going on now and things have really, really slowed down, we've still had a busy, busy week. This past week, we had a 6th annual design forum, and we had some world-renowned design instructors come here, and they talked a lot about the skills that students in graphic designs and other type of architectural type designs need to have into the 21st century. So much used to be done, well, it was all done with pencil and paper and graphs and charts and things like that. Now it's all automated. You don't see anybody doing graphic designs unless they have a couple computers and all this other high-tech stuff. So it was really, really interesting. It was neat for the students to get to see some really, really modern and update and some futuristic type tools that they'll be able to use to help do everything from architecture, design, all the way through advertising and so many other things. But anyway, that was a really, really good conference they had. And then we also had a very, very interesting meeting with all of the student representatives and faculty and staff representatives here at the university. We have over 6,000 people. Last year we had about 6,100 students, but then we have about another 450 staff and several hundred faculty. So we're up to about 7,000 people in total. And most of the representatives were on campus and had a large meeting. And we talked about a lot of different things, altruistic type projects that can not only be implemented here on campus and make this such a better, much better place than it already is, but also take it into the different communities. And so it was really, really great to see all the representation there. We talked about stuff like planting trees, reducing garbage. And that was a really, really important topic is, you know, the students are going to try and, in their own lives and in their family lives, try and educate people not to use plastic forks, plates, knives, styrofoam, cups, things like that. Use things that are biodegradable or use regular plastic things to where you can take home and wash. Don't use this styrofoam stuff. I know that the state of Jalisco, I think, has outlawed styrofoam plates and cups and things like that. I think it takes effect next year. Most of the restaurants, some of the ones I go to and I ask for takeout things, instead of the styrofoam anymore, they're starting to put it in paper. And instead of plastic bags, they're putting it in some kind of little plastic bag or little paper bag. Or they're asking, one place I go to, they're saying, hey, just bring your own bag if you know you're going to have leftovers because our proportions are Texas size. Then go ahead and bring your own little bag. So I've been doing that to a couple of the restaurants. And I've even actually taken a couple of Tupperware containers. So you can think about that. Instead of going to a restaurant, having a bunch of stuff, and then saying, oh, will you put this for a take-home so I can eat it for my next meal? Take a couple Tupperware containers and have them put it in that, and then you can take it home, use it, eat the food out of it, and then we wash it, and that way we save a lot. But that's kind of what this conference was all about. It was really, really neat. We talked about energy savings. We talked about turning lights off, turning the air conditioners up a little bit in the classrooms, using fans instead of air conditioners, because sometimes it's not really that hot down here, and just a little bit of circulated air, your wind chill temperature will make you comfortable. And so there's a lot of really, really great things that we talked about. We talked about carrying a lot of the stuff that we learn and do here on campus into our daily lives. We talked about, like, blood donations, how we can be more responsible in the world. So it was really, really neat. And out of this, a bunch of the students had ideas and suggestions. And one of them was student, of course, I don't know if you realize this, but a lot of the students that go here do social service. Most all of them do. And so the amount of money they have to pay to go to the university here isn't really an extremely large amount like it is in the United States and Canada and most countries. Education is very, very, very expensive. I know that firsthand because I had some daughters that both went to the universities up in the United States, and so many thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people graduating every year have massive student debts from the loans that they've taken out to go to universities. But here it's not so bad. The students don't have to pay so much in money, but they have to pay back in time and energy and events. We call it social service. And it's really, really a fabulous project. But some of the students this summer are going to do social service around the campus. They're going to help with some of the yard maintenance. We have a lot of grassy areas. We have a lot of flower places that, you know, there's gardens. We have, they're going to be fixing chairs. They're going to be fixing desks. They're going to be doing some painting, landscaping type things. So it's just a way for the university students, faculty, and staff to get more involved and not just, you know, this is a university. We are here to learn the reading, writing, and arithmetic. But there's so much other things to being a good person in the world. And it all starts here at home, which this is our home, the University of Guadalajara, Cucosta. So there's no better place. And it's fabulous that the students wanted to be involved. They wanted this conference. They wanted to sit down with the administration and the new administration, new president or rector of the university, and let them know where they stood. And it was very, very well accepted. And so we're really happy to do that. And also in the conference, they all wanted a student lounge. We really didn't have a student meeting place. And so the president of the university, Jorge Tellez, he decided to go ahead and dedicate a certain area here in campus. And we're going to be preparing it this summer. And then when the fall semester starts in August, we'll have it ready. It'll be a place for students to go gather, meet, talk. And all of the student body has representatives. And they'll be able to meet with their representatives there, give suggestions, give comments about things that are going on and this, that, and the other. And then the representatives will meet with the student council body and the representatives from the faculty, staff, and they'll be able to iron things out and make a better life for all of us. They've also been doing a lot here on campus about, they have a new office about discrimination and different conducts. If you have a problem on campus with a teacher, with a student, with a faculty, if there's something on the campus you don't like, you can go and you can sit down and talk to the administration. And so that's really, really great. There's been a lot of changes since the new president has taken over back June 1st, and I'm sure there'll be a lot more, not only in staff, people moving from place to place, different office, new jobs, this, that, and the other, but in a lot of great ideas that are coming about that we've been working on forever. And, of course, with this Me Too Now movement, it's being more and more in the focus and in the spotlight, and so we're trying to, you know, put our eyes on all this stuff. So anyway, I'm really, really happy that a lot of that is going on. The new office, I said, for ethics and human rights discrimination is going to be a great addition and give a place for people to go and have a voice. And so really happy all that's going on here. Hey, I got to mention something coming up on July 3rd, and I know it's a couple weeks away. On Wednesday, July 3rd at 11 a.m., we're going to have the graduation program for the SWAM program. And if you don't know what that is, it's our Senior Citizen Education Program. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that, but Jonathan's saying, hey, we need to take a break. So we're going to do that, come right back, talk a little bit more about the SWAM program and a couple other things I have on my mind. Then I have two really, really important interviews today. So please, right now, go get your pencil and paper, things you can write things down. And if you're driving, pull over, go to a restaurant, get your sandwich or something like that so you can write down all this information. It's really important. But anyway, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back with more of the Good Morning Wake Up Show here in just a couple minutes.
Let's have a little talk at the Good Morning Wake Up Show. You are listening to the Good Morning Wake Up Show.
She packed my bags last night, we flying. See her heart, 9 a.m. And I'm gonna be high.
Was a reggae version of Rocket Man. As if you listened to the show last week, I was talking all about the different movies I've been seeing and future shows, movies that are coming here to the Bay of Banderas. And Rocket Man, I went and saw. It's a kind of a life story of the English singer Elton John. Fabulous, fabulous movie. I think it's still on. I highly recommend you go seeing that. And I was talking to Jonathan, who I got to say thank you to very much. Jonathan's my producer, has been for about 6 months now, and does a fabulous job coming in every Saturday morning early, turning on the knobs and controls and making sure the volume's right and everything. And after my show every week, there is a couple of hours of reggae. And I told Jonathan, I said, hey, see if you can find some reggae that's like Elton John or something like that. And sure enough, he did. He played it last week, the reggae version of Rocket Man, but I didn't hear it because I was doing something else. So we were talking this morning. He said he'd play it again, so he did. So thank you, Jonathan. Appreciate it. I appreciate very much that he gets in here every Saturday morning early because he works at a place called the Encanto, which is one of the funnest places I think you can hang out in the Bay of Banderas. It is run by a fellow Oklahoman. And if you don't know, I am from the great state of Oklahoma. I was born, I was bred, and I was buttered there. And Tracy Parks, who started Encantos about 3 years ago, built it from scratch. It's what I consider a speakeasy. You can go there, you can have drinks, you can have great, great food. They have live entertainment almost every day of the week, and starting sometimes in the afternoon, I think it's Friday or Saturday, maybe Sunday, they have bingo, which is just outrageous. You never know what in the world's going to go on as they play bingo. You never know who's going to show up to do karaoke or do some stand-up. They do have some of the best entertainment, professional entertainers come and play in the lounge downstairs, which holds about, I think, 80 or 90 people. I was there not too long ago, saw a Garth Brooks impersonator, and they have a lot of impersonators come that I know there's a person that does Cher, and it's just amazing to sit there. You almost think, man, is that really Cher, or is that really Garth Brooks, or whoever it may be, Rod Stewart? They have a whole group of impersonators that come through. But then they have people like Larry Long and other entertainers that come, and they're just themselves. And so anyway, happy birthday. Tracy had his birthday the other day. It was also the birthday celebration of Encanto, I think 3 years now, so got to congratulate them. I haven't had Dennis Reich, my good friend with the Jay Sadler Project, on for a while, but I do want to say if you really have some spare time and you are really, really good at fixing things like plumbing, roofing, fencing, playground equipment, this, that, and the other, you're looking for an opportunity to help children, old people, and just the whole Bay of Banderas community, The Jay Sadler Project is just an unbelievable place for you to dedicate some time and some energy and some money. And contact me here at the radio station, and I'll put you in contact with Dennis Reich, who runs that project for Jay Sadler. And it's just an amazing opportunity to give back some time and energy, have a lot of fun. I know they just built a kitchen at one of the schools over in San Vicente. Believe it or not, the public school had no kind of kitchen or any kind of facility to cook food or anything. So all the children at the school had to bring their lunches every day and their breakfast, whatever they wanted to eat. So a lot of the parents got together with the school and said, hey, if you'll build a kitchen, we'll come up here and we'll cook the food for the kids. And voluntarily. So they got the Jay Sadler Project, and they decided to build a kitchen. They've been working on that for quite a while. So congratulations to them on that. Jay and Dennis went ever on. They talk about a gentleman named Jesus that lives up in Copanoli. I hope I pronounce that right. He listens in every week, so I want to say hello, give a shout-out to him. Appreciate him tuning in very much. Again, if you want to contact me and be involved in Jay Sadler Project, or if you want to talk about anything that I've talked about, if you're an organization, a charity, somebody that does good here in the Bay of Banderas, or you want to be on the show, please contact me at 104.3 wakeupshow@gmail.com. Again, 104.3 wakeupshow@gmail.com. And I highly urge you to go to the university website and see all the exciting events that are happening. There's not a lot right now because it's a summer session, and we'll be off for about 2.5-3 weeks in first middle of August, getting ready for the fall semester. But you can always go to the university website at www.cuc.udg.mx, and you can find out everything that's happening here at the University of Guadalajara, Cucosta. Hey, if you like animals, and I don't know anybody that doesn't like some kind of animals, the SPCA has been doing a lot of spay and neutering clinics since March here around the Bay of Banderas. They're trying to do them every Monday and Tuesday in different neighborhoods. And for a long, long time, they were doing it like once a week at Plaza Lazario Cardenas or something like that, had a certain area. But now they've got a mobile van, and their mission is to go out and spray and neuter as many cats and dogs as they can so we don't have 5 or 6 times more than what people take care of, and they won't be roaming the streets and looking for food and possibly biting people and causing medical problems and that. But so far, in just a couple of weeks, they've spayed and neutered 468 pets, and that's just fabulous. It's unbelievable that they have dedicated the time and commitment to do this, but they need some volunteers. So please, if you're willing to give some hours of your time, you can contact them, and they want some help between the hours of, I believe, 8 a.m. and 2 p.m., and you can do that by emailing them at spcapv@gmail.com. So again, it's spcapv@gmail.com. Hey, I was mentioning a little bit about everybody picking up trash and this, that, and the other. Well, we all need to chip in and do our part. And there's been more and more people to help us chip in and do our part. And what I mean by that is, there's a lot more people visiting Puerto Vallarta. Last quarter, we had a 2.6% increase at the airport. Over 600,000 people were here in the Bay of Banderas coming in on flights. And a 23% increase at the port, the cruise ships coming in. I think a couple of years ago, we had about 78. Last year, we had around 100. And I think this next year, going from July to July, July 2019 to 2020, it's going to be like a 125, 130 cruise ships coming in here. So there's more and more come in. And so we've got a lot more people coming in. Let's make this a more beautiful place than it already is for them, okay? Now, with all that, more people moving here, more people coming here on vacation. You have to take the good with the bad and the ugly. And the ugly sometimes can be the trash. So please pick up after yourself. It's just as easy to throw it in a trash can as it is on the ground or on the beach. So please pick up after yourself. And one thing I really want to say is if anybody knows the higher-ups at the airport, I've had five or six people call me or email me about how long it takes to go through security and how long it takes to go through immigration and that. We're working on that. We're trying to talk to some people at the airport that we know. But if you're a government official and you're listening in today and you'd like to sit down and listen to some of the things from people that I know that are calling me and talking to me, please contact me here at the show and we'll talk a little bit more about it. Well, Jonathan's telling me it's time to take another break. We're going to do so. And then we're going to get into our interviews. So right now, go get your second or third cup of coffee, breakfast burrito or eggs or omelet, whatever you're chowing down on this morning. And get your pencil and paper out because I've got two great interviews, very important information that I think you'll want to write down. And then I'll be back towards the end of the show and we'll talk a little bit more about some other things I have on my mind. Again, if you want to contact me, do so at 104.3wakeupshow@gmail.com. Or you can call me on the telephone line, 226-2233 or 226-2266. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back with more of the Good Morning Wake Up Show here in just a couple minutes.
The Good Morning Wake Up Show will be back in a few minutes. Let's have a little talk at the Good Morning Wake Up Show.
Your fault. There's so much you have to know. Find a girl, settle down. If you want, you can marry. Look at me. I am old, but I'm happy. I was once like you are now, and I know that it's not easy to be calm when you found something going on. But take your time, think a lot. Why, think of everything you've got, for you will still be here tomorrow, but your dreams may not. How can I try to explain? When I do, he turns away again. It's always been the same, same old story. From the moment I could talk, I was ordered to listen. Now there's a way, and I know that I have to go away. I know I have to go. Change, just sit down, take it slowly. You're still young, that's your fault. There's so much you have to go through. Find a girl, settle down. If you want, you can marry. Look at me, I am old, but I'm happy. All the times that I've cried, keeping all the things I knew inside. It's hard, but it's harder to ignore it. If they were right, I'd agree. But it's them they know, not me. Now there's a way, and I know that I have to go away. I know I have to go.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Good Morning Wake-Up Show with your host, Michael Nolan, here on University of Guadalajara Radio, 104.3 FM. I want to say thank you again for tuning in. Today I have a very, very special guest, Dr. Mimi Priestley. She is kind of what I call the expert on medical marijuana and so many other things here in the Bay of Banderas, but she helps so many children and adults that are having some type of physical problem that haven't found relief through normal medications and that. But anyway, Mimi, Dr. Priestley, thank you very much for being on the Good Morning Wake Up Show.
Well, thank you very much, Michael. And I wanted to bring, you know, some people up to date on what's going on locally, nationally, and internationally in the use of cannabis and the use of what we call industrial hemp. Because a lot of the CBD, the cannabidiol, is coming from industrial hemp. And this is a very important distinction because many of the countries, and including Mexico, have a distinction that if it has a content of over 1% of THC, someone that has it in their possession may be arrested. And by the time, especially in Mexico, by the time things are sorted out, quite a while can transpass, and also what could happen is you're going to be spending a lot of money. But many of the products, in fact, now more and more here in Mexico, there's more products that are available. A lot of them are being advertised on the Facebooks and other areas, and it's the CBD. Remember, the definition for CBD has to be that it has to be less than 1% of the content with THC.
Well, you know, so many states and the whole country of Canada now have legalized personal marijuana for use. Mm-hmm. You can grow it in a certain amount in about, I think, 12 or 13 of the United States, all of Canada now. And, of course, so many of our snowbirds come down here. Mm-hmm. And they may be so accustomed to having it and knowing it's legal in many states of the United States and Canada that they just forget that they're coming to Mexico, which is a foreign country, and it is not legal here.
Yeah.
And people think, oh, well, Mexico is so much more loose and the rules and regulations. That's not true when it comes to drugs. They're working towards becoming a more progressive country, but still, and you know it better than anybody as an expert in this subject, it's not legal, and I want you to express, if you can, where Mexico is as far as making it legal, but it's not, and we need to warn people, you cannot bring it through the airport.
Right.
You cannot bring, you're the expert, why don't you tell us? I'll be quiet for a minute.
Well, while you're traveling, there is an international passenger law that says you can travel with what they refer to as estupefacientes, which are narcotics, as long as you have a prescription. So if you're traveling from the United States or Canada or somewhere else and you have your prescription with you and you declare it, this is the key. So if you come through customs and a lot of people, you've traveled back and forth many times and you don't ever get the red light. If you get the red light and you did not declare that you have a prescription drug, or if you're bringing CBD or something else through, and if you have a prescription from your country that you are using medical cannabis, CBD or something else, and you have your prescription with you, that will be the end of the story. Unfortunately, what we're seeing lately is a lot of people in the customs here in Mexico, the police are called Ministerio Público. they're not well informed, and many of the judges are not well informed. They are making a huge assumption that they're saying that any CBD or any other of these products are derivatives of marijuana. And as a derivative, and if you have more than 5 grams, you can be sentenced for a minimum of 10 years in prison. And typically that's not going to happen, but to fight your way out of that is incredibly difficult, costly, and very timely. So if what I would recommend, and several people have asked me, I said, you know, there are many places here in Mexico that you can get your CBD, cannabidiol, and you won't need to be transporting it internationally. And if you do transport it internationally, just like you would if you're taking Valium or some of the other psychotropics, make sure you just have your prescription with you. Don't think that you can just hide it, because if they find it, they can prosecute. They are supposed to be a little bit more lenient with international passengers, but it all depends on who stops you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the chances of you getting that red light at the airport are not high, but it is it is possible. So to avoid that, you know, make sure that, you know, if you need to travel with your CBD or your other products, and I know some people are using the Rick Simpson oil. Rick Simpson oil we typically use with people that are experiencing pretty significant levels of cancer. And it's not used just for palliative care. It is also because more and more research is coming out to show that especially Rick Simpson and some of the other oils actually do kill the cancer cells. And we've got lots of research now that backs that up from the United States, from Mexico, from Canada, from Israel, etc. So it is very, very curative in its potential. And, you know, we know many, many people that come here do have cancer, and they're trying to get well. And we've had ourselves many cases of cancer where we are just trying basically to keep them comfortable so that they did not have to go and use high doses of morphine and fentanyl and some other very serious painkillers.
Mimi, I apologize to the listening audience and to you. You've been on the show probably a dozen times over the last 4 years since I've had the Good Morning Wake Up Show, and I thank you very much for your time. But we have a lot of new listeners all the time, and many of our listeners may not know who you are, what kind of practice you have here in the Bay of Banderas. I should have done this at the very beginning, but if you don't mind, could you kind of explain a little bit about what you do here in the Bay of Banderas, a little bit of your background and history? I know it's repetitive to some, and I apologize, but there's a lot of new listeners, and you do so much to help senior citizens, children, people of all ages with a lot of different type of problems and situations. Can you kind of give a little background on yourself?
Sure.
And that way, if a new listener hears or they know somebody that needs help after you tell them what you do, then they'll be able to guide themselves to you, and we'll give out your contact information and everything. I apologize if we didn't do it up front, but, you know, I just forget.
All right. And probably because we're very familiar and we've done this many times. Well, my name is actually Maureen Priestley, but everyone here calls me Mimi. We have a center in Plaza Marina where we deal with children and adults typically with some type of neurological or behavior issue. We service many individuals that have very little income. And we're able to do this because I also write books, and we get some money from the books, the royalties from the books. And we try to be as creative as possible because many of the people that come to see us are not typically individuals that would be able to be serviced by some of the local government agencies. So we're able to do that. We are also involved in research, and we are participating in many projects locally and nationally and internationally. Recently now in the area of research involving the use of cannabidiol in things like autism, epilepsy, cancer, anxiety, sleep, Parkinson, multiple sclerosis, brain injury, etc. And we're seeing obviously very, very good results in many of our cases, we've been able to eliminate many of the pharmaceuticals that they had previously been taking. The advantage, obviously, with the CBD is that we're able to help people without producing addiction, without causing interference with their treatment programs unless they're taking morphine. And so we've been very fortunate with that. So we're working with the adult population, that individuals have had strokes, they've had traumatic brain injury. We deal with a lot of the soldiers that have they've moved down here from Canada and the United States. We work with people with post-traumatic stress disorder, which is sometimes extremely debilitating. And again, because there's not very many resources here in that area too. So we're doing the best we can. We work with many other programs throughout the country and facilitate research, for example, Tijuana, Monterey, Guadalajara, Mexico City, in a variety of areas. We're also very interested in working with the private and public school system to improve the area of critical thinking and application of information, not just memorization of data.
Well, I know you all do a fabulous job. There's so many people stopping on the street or people that I know that have their children or themselves have come here and been patients, and you've helped them, and it's just amazing. And I want to say thank you on behalf of all of them and on the, you know, everybody I know that knows you just is flabbergasted what a great job you do. Jonathan's telling me we need to take a break, so we can do that real quick, and we'll be right back with Dr. Mimi Priestley. We'll be right back.
The Good Morning Wake Up Show will be back in a few minutes. You are listening to the Good Morning Wake Up Show.
Your smile. I've been looking at you forever, yet I never saw you before. Are these your hands holding mine? Now I wonder how I could have been so blind. And for the first time I am looking in your eyes. For the first time I'm seeing who you are. I can't believe how much I see when you're looking back at me. Now I understand what love is. Love is for the first time. Can this be real? Can this be true? Am I the person I was this morning? And are you the same you? It's all so strange. How can it be? All along this love was right in front of me. First time I am looking in your eyes. For the first time I'm seeing who you are. I can't believe how much I see when you're looking back at me. Now I understand why love is. The first time. Such a long time ago, I had given up on the first time I am looking in your eyes. For the first time I'm seeing who you are. Can't believe how much I see when you're looking back at me. Now I understand what love is. Love is for the first time. For the first time.
Welcome back, everybody. We're going to continue our conversation with Mimi Priestley. Mimi, I know in the past you've done a lot of conferences, not just here, but in Guadalajara, Mexico City. You have Cannafest?
We have Cannafest, Cannabis Salud. Now there are many, many new conferences coming out.
And you've brought several of them to the university. I want to say thank you for that. I remember the last one we had here, we had probably, we thought we'd have about 60 people. We had 160, I think. We were standing room only, out the door. It was just amazing. And people have asked me many times, when's the next one going to be? When can I find out more information? When are the big festivals that you have? I'm calling them festivals. I don't know what else. In Mexico City, in Guadalajara. Can you update us on that front?
Yes. Right now, during the summer, it's kind of slow. But what's happening now in Mexico are there are many big congresses that are coming. Some of them will be in Guadalajara, and some of them will be in Mexico City, as well as Monterrey. We are hoping to set up some more here locally, but typically these conferences are designed for medical professionals and scientists and, of course, the public, because what we have seen, especially in the last 5 to 10 years, many times patients seem to be a little bit more informed than many of the doctors because they have a need and they're looking for solutions to their problems. And so what we have decided to do in the last 3 to 4 years is really start training doctors and other scientists and nurses on what this the use of these products is and how to do it in a professional way, not just to go down on the malecón and buy some, you know, tinctures and things like that, to really understand that there is obviously a great deal of science behind all of this. In our situation here in Cannabis Salud will be in Mexico City. That will be in October. There's another huge event in Guadalajara in September. I don't know the dates just yet, but we'll be able to let you know later on.
Okay.
Right now in the summer, it's kind of a lull. And there are many Facebook pages. One is called Neurology and Cannabidiol. That particular Facebook page is typically in English. They have all kinds of research studies that they're publishing all the time on anything from epilepsy to multiple sclerosis to autism to cancer, etc. And these are really well-designed studies, some of them coming out of Harvard, Stanford, Yale. There's a great deal coming out of New England and, of course, out of Israel. So there's a lot of scientific information. The other thing that's going on, there's a huge push in Mexico to allow people to have a certain number of plants, especially these moms that have children that have epilepsy, for them to be able to make their own extracts. The law previously was that if you had a permit from COFEPRIS, which is like FDA, you would have the authorization to import your oil or your capsules, et cetera, from Mexico, or from the United States, excuse me. Now, the new president, even though he was on a campaign saying that they were going to decriminalize all drugs, he's gone way back on that. And so right now, we're kind of in limbo as to, you know, who is authorized. The only person I think right now has a permit, a legal permit, is Raul Elizalde. He's the father of a child that was having like 200 seizures a day. Mm. He is very much an activist and working with us. we're constantly presenting information to the Congress and to the senators, et cetera, here in Mexico, providing them scientific data as to what's going on. So right now, with the transition of the new president, we're not doing terribly well. So we just, you know, but that's not to say, you know, as most people that live here understand, that, you know, many, many people have their capsules or their oil, et cetera, and they're doing great. And if I would just recommend, if for any reason you were stopped, I would just say to tell them it's a, you know, a nutritional supplement, and to make sure you've got something that has less than 1% THC. And if you can, have at least a prescription with you at all times from a doctor that is prescribing it. And, you know, that's another thing that's very tricky, because the law, even in the United States, says you can't prescribe, you can recommend. So if you have something that a doctor, and many doctors are actually prescribing, many doctors send people to me with a prescription, which I find interesting, but anyway, it will. And, you know, we have to understand that the level of sophistication of somebody in the street, like a transit, you know, one of the transit officers or someone else, they're not going to have the sophistication of equipment to discriminate whether this has THC or not. It may smell like marijuana, and you will be charged for that. So obviously being very, very careful, trying to get your prescription to back up, you know, whatever you're carrying with you, and certainly not to take it internationally.
Well, I know, and you know, that the University of Guadalajara has just gone through a major change with a new general rector in Guadalajara, but also here in Puerto Vallarta at Cucosta, we have a new rector. Dr. Marco Antonio Cortez Gradado, who was our former rector, was very positive and very helpful in having conferences here at the college. And he was coming from an administrative type of position, which he's been for many years. Our new rector, Jorge Telles Lopez, he is a biologist. So he is a scientist. And he has worked in the medical, the biology type field for many years. So hopefully, with some backing, we can get you over there, set up a meeting. And, of course, Dr. Mike's been helpful also. And we can maybe continue the support of the University of Guadalajara here at Cucosta for you and your organization and the other people and the laboratories. That's for you all to work out. But hopefully the university will stay connected with you all in many ways and be more helpful if we can. And you know, the law, we have a law school here.
Yeah.
So if people need questions, maybe we could have a small symposium coming up in September or October when classes are back, and have some of the university professors that are medical or legals, and then all your people come, and we can have a nice festival and educate the public even more so. I want you, if you don't mind, give out your contact information, your phone number, email, websites, and any other websites. You mentioned a couple things on Facebook. Is there anything like on YouTube? I mean, you're talking about growing plants and this. Is there any? I would have no idea where to start.
Yeah.
Are there YouTube videos that people can go to and learn?
Oh, yeah. There are tons and tons of videos on YouTube describing and showing, for example, what happens to a person that is with Parkinson and they ingest some of the oil and how quickly the tremors stop. People that are having seizures, we give them, or, you know, someone on the video will give them some of the oil and the seizures stop. There are many, many documented cases on YouTube. If anyone is looking, let's say, for example, yesterday I saw a woman that has leukemia, and she had done an incredible amount of her own research. She knew exactly what she needed, and was looking for sources here in Puerto Vallarta. She's from the United States, and she had done, like I said, so if you go on to even to Google or even to YouTube or even Facebook, and you put up whatever your concern is, like you look at anxiety and CBD, or you look at cancer, and you can even go by the type of cancer, and you'll see all kinds of citations as to specifically. Now, another source that I really love is a source called realmofcaring.org, and that is from the United States, and they're starting one here in Mexico. And this is for all patients, free of charge. You can write to them. They usually get back to you within 24 hours. If you write to them and say, I have this and this and this, you know, what do you know? They can't make recommendations. Their whole medical library is coming out of Johns Hopkins. Johns Hopkins has been doing all kinds of really interesting research for, you know, over the last 50 or 60 years. So they have a whole beautiful internet library, and they will also give you some recommendations of people that you can talk to. Realm of Caring also has a group of professionals that are available for consultation too, and they will give you recommendations based on your region. So they're going to give you recommendations in Mexico and the United States and Canada, and they all do this nonprofit. They're getting a lot of funding for doing research, etc. They have a whole list of individuals that have been trying different things, and then they're doing the research as well. So that's a good source. And then, like I said, neurology and cannabis is one that we use, or autism and cannabis. There's, you know, it's abundant, the amount of information that you can receive.
Well, you've been just a great source of information for a long, long time, and I appreciate that very much. Jonathan said we're going to take another break. Can I hold you over for about another 5 minutes?
Sure.
I don't take too much time, but we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to the Good Morning Wake-Up Show. Let's have a little talk at the Good Morning Wake-Up Show.
Welcome back, everybody. We're going to start the third half of our conversation with Mimi Priestley, who is our expert here. We do have a lot of experts that come down here from the States and from Canada, and I would like to invite them to chime in if they can. They can contact me here at the my personal radio email, and I can maybe put them in contact with you, but I'm speaking to the listening audience. I'm inviting you, if you're an expert, if you're a doctor, if you're a psychiatrist, if you have been in the medical marijuana profession in the States, a grower, a distributor, whatever, and you're down here now, and you could be of some aid, if you want to help out, Mimi has a lot of opportunities for you to maybe, if you have the right credentials, to volunteer, please contact either Mimi or myself, and we'll try and help you help us. Yeah. And I'm just inviting people that are professionals, experts with credentials.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say, hey, I used to grow up back in the 70s, and I think I know a lot about dope.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want those kind of people. I love y'all, but I want professionals because we need it so much, because Mimi's set such a great high standard here. And she helps so many young kids, so many elderly people, so many very, very sick that have almost given up with medical or traditional medications and things like that. So that's my little commercial, I guess. I want to try and get more people to help us.
Yeah.
And especially the children that, if you can volunteer time, things like that, please do. In closing, I'm going to open up the mic, let you talk about anything you want. The price of gasoline, whatever, the weather. We need rain. We all know that. But more seriously, what would you like the listening audience to know? How can they be involved with you? And I'll be quiet for a little bit and let you just close out the show if you don't mind.
Okay. Well, again, thank you very much, Michael. You've been very, very helpful to us, helping us get out the word. One of our main objectives locally, nationally, and internationally is education. We're trying to really get the word out, and as you mentioned, the University of Guadalajara has always been supportive of what we're doing, and I know right now that they've got one of the leading experts in the use of cannabidiol. His name is Dr. Juan Manuel Viveros. He had been here at the university. He does conferences all over the world. He's doing all kinds of research showing the benefits. So our major thrust now is educating doctors, nurses. Nurses seem to really love this because it really helps with the management. You know, these patients are no longer as aggressive. They're not as anxious. They're able to sleep and relax, and we're not filling them with all kinds of pharmaceuticals. So we're still able to give people quality of life, dignity, and we don't have to keep them sedated all the time. So that's a huge benefit for the patient and for the family. And so our goals from now forward, of course, help bring back the legislation and the rules and regulations here in Mexico, get that straightened out. Obviously, one of the concerns right now in Mexico is the fine line between legal use, medical, and the street use. And that involves the cartels. And, you know, many people ask us if the cartels are our biggest problem. And we say, no, the large pharmaceutical companies are not. And now some of the large pharmaceutical companies in the United States and other places are getting in on this, because they see that there can be profit. This has been very detrimental. Why? Because once they get involved, the prices of these very precious products goes out of control again. And so we want it to be able to be accessible to the people that most need it. So we try very, very hard to keep prices, you know, here in Mexico and the United States at a very comfortable level, not, you know, exploit people that are in their most desperate hour. So I will say we have our center here in Puerto Vallarta. It's called Pasos Adelante, which means taking step forward. We try to help everybody that comes through our door one way or another. Sometimes this isn't their end point, but we try to get them on track to where they need to go, help them do that. We have services for children and adults, and our phone number is 322-224-0161, and we're located in Plaza Marina near the airport.
Okay. And that's where the Hotel One is, just the near downtown side of Hotel One, School of the Americas, just right there in the back part of the shopping center. I think there's a big grocery store up there. Is it Soriana or Mega or something?
Soriana.
Well, I want to say thank you very, very much. You've been very, very helpful, very kind with all your information and bringing the experts here to the Bay of Banderas. Hopefully we can continue that in the future. And always know that this mic is open to you anytime you have new information or you have any of your guests from out of state or out of country. Please let them know that, you know, you can bring them on and let them give updates and things like that.
Well, thank you very much.
I've always enjoyed visiting with you and learning a lot, and I know you help so many people. I just want to say thank you and good luck, and hopefully one day we've been working on this for 4 years, trying to get the politicians and everybody in the medical professions realize what a great benefit this is.
Yeah.
But now we have, like you said, a whole new administration in Mexico City. He promised, I'm going to do this, this, and this, and he's backtracking on it like he is on a lot of things.
Yes.
And, you know, we're funded by the politics of Mexico, so I got to be careful.
Yes, exactly.
But I think they understand that we're in the right direction and we're really trying to help people.
Yeah.
Okay. Mimi, thank you very much. Appreciate your time, and we'll see you again when you have some more information.
Okay,
we're going to take another break. We'll be back with more of the Good Morning Wake Up Show here in just a couple minutes. We'll be right back.
The Good Morning Wake Up Show will be back in a few minutes. Let's have a little talk at the Good Morning Wake Up Show.
Welcome back to the Good Morning Wake Up Show with your host, Michael Nolan, here on University of Guadalajara Radio, 104.3 FM.
Once again, I want to say thank you very much for tuning in this morning. We have a very, very important interview this morning, and I want to make sure you go get some paper and pencils or pens so you can keep this information down, because this is very important. A couple of weeks ago, I attended a town hall meeting that was put on by Kelly Traynor, our American consulate agent, and we handed over at the O'Rourke and Associates at Plaza Marina. And once again, I want to say thank you very much to O'Rourke and Associates for allowing us to have the town hall meeting there. There were about 100 people in attendance that day, and the information that we gave out was very, very important. Today, I am at the fire station here in Puerto Vallarta, and I'm very lucky to have Wilbur Guerra, who is a firefighter and emergency responder here in the Bay of Banderas area. And first of all, I want to say thank you, Wilbur, for taking your time to come and be on the Good Morning Wake Up Show.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
Last week at the meeting, you gave some really, really great tips for emergencies, things for planning on how to be prepared for emergencies, and also things that we need to be sure to do. I want you to kind of go over those things again this morning. But first, if you wouldn't mind, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm Mexican. My name is Wilbur Guerra. I used to live back in California for about 10 years. Now I am back. And since I came back from California, I work as a firefighter here in Puerto Vallarta. That will be 12 years already.
12 years. And you're also an emergency responder. You know, we're very fortunate down here compared to the States and other parts of the world where a lot of houses are built out of wood and sheetrock and things like that that are combustible and burn. Here, most of the houses are made out of concrete or bricks. So we don't have a lot of fires, but we do have a lot of emergencies, and most of those are health-related. And if someone was to, by chance, have an emergency, how do we contact the fire department? How do we contact the ambulances?
Well, the number here for emergencies is just back like the same in the States. 911, that's the emergency phone number that you guys need to call in case you need assistance with the fire department, with the police, or any medical emergency.
Well, that's something that's been implemented in the last several years, and there's a lot of people that, of course, live here year-round, but we've got a lot of visitors that come here for a week or two or several months, the snowbirds. So it is very important that you know that 911 is the number to dial, just like it would be in the United States or in Canada. But it's just so important that you know exactly how to get a hold of somebody. And not only is it important to know how to, but once you do, it's very important to be able to contact and communicate to the people answering the phone to where you're at. So I want you to expand a little bit about that and talk about, tell the OXO story, please.
Okay. One of the things or the major issues that we have had sometimes trying to locate a person is because they don't give us our good reference points. A lot of times when you have an emergency, like here in Puerto Vallarta, you have to give us a reference point if you don't know the name of the street. And I'll tell you why. Because if you say, I'm outside an OXO, we have like 1,000 of them throughout the coast. So it is very important to let us know. If you are, like, for example, if you are in the Malecon is probably about a mile long, and if you get hurt, and if you need an emergency, and you need to call us, tell us if you, for example, you are outside the Irish pub, or you are near McDonald's, or you are near to La Bodeguita, which are reference points that we can definitely get there faster because we already know where they are. So same like when you're at home, it's very important that you learn or you know your street address, the number, and the name of the colonia that you're living with, or even the hotel that you're staying at, you're just passing by. It's very important that you know all that information.
And it's very important, although a lot of us don't speak a lot of Spanish, it is very important to know your street address, your hotel name. Although the people that answer the 911 will speak English, it's still very important to know that in case you need to pass it on to somebody else. Now, one of the tips that you gave out was contact information. A lot of us are down here on vacation, or a lot of us live here full time. If you come here on vacation, be sure there's people that live in the United States that know your hotel. You know, sometimes we get down here and the hotel's full or the reservation doesn't work out. Make sure you contact people to know where you're staying, what the phone number of the hotel is, where the hotel is located. You don't want to say you're staying at the Marriott because there may be three Marriotts, or you don't want to say you're staying at the whatever because there may be four or five hotels with the very, very same, similar name. So be very specific in what you tell people and make sure people know how to get a hold of you and other people around you know who you are, where you're from, and if there's an emergency, how to contact someone back in the States or back in Canada. So extravagate on that, please.
Also, all those points that you just touched on are very important, that they have all that information with them all the time. Not only that, one of the things that I told them when we had the town hall meeting is that it is very important for people to know their insurance, if they have medical insurance, and if they are traveling to the States, to Mexico, to make sure that that medical insurance covers here in Mexico, because we have so many accidents and we have different hospitals that can provide the medical attention that you might need. But one thing that they will require also is medical insurance, that to have that in hand.
One thing that Kelly mentioned, when we're traveling from the United States, and we also have a consulate here from Canada, so if you're Canadian, it's very important to register with your consulate before you leave the United States or Canada and let them know you're traveling. Let them know you're going to be somewhere in Puerto Vallarta. That way you can give them contact information. If there's an emergency of some type, they can get a hold of you. And it's the same thing. If you have an emergency, the consulate can help in a lot of different ways, but they have to know that you're an American and that you're traveling. So be sure to contact the consulate before or after you leave on your vacation, so they'll know that you're down here. Let's talk about some tips for emergencies. There's some basic things to do. And, of course, if you're walking on the Malecón or some of the streets, be sure to wear, you know, it sounds very silly, but wear proper shoes. Things aren't, the sidewalks aren't as smooth as they could be, and the cobblestone streets are kind of dangerous sometimes. So don't wear stiletto heels.
Definitely not.
Don't try and walk and keep your eyes down so you can see, because the concrete is really unsmooth here, and we don't want you tripping and falling. And I see a lot of people that do trip and fall. Some of it's because they drank way too much alcohol, and that's something you shouldn't do because it's not really great for you. But go ahead if you wouldn't mind, Wilbur, you're the expert.
One of the accidents that we had that happens more often here in Puerto Vallarta is definitely the trip and fall. And those two points that you just mentioned are the more hazardous things that people do. Either walk without looking where they're walking because the floor is uneven, number one. Number two, not having the properly shoes for it, or because they take too much alcohol. We know that when you guys come over to have fun and have good times, and that is fine, but you have to always be prepared or aware that you're putting yourself in a situation where an accident will happen.
Let's also talk about other tips for emergencies besides just wearing the proper type of attire. When we're talking about it, you know, you can be sunburned very badly, and that can hospitalize you.
Definitely.
So be sure to cover up. Don't stay out of the sun. Don't try and get a tan in 1 or 2 days. It takes weeks to develop a really nice tan. You can get some colors, but be smart. Don't stay out of the sun 9 or 10 hours like a lot of people do, because that can cause a lot of really bad problems with your skin. You can be hospitalized.
Yeah, situations like exposing too much to the sun is going to dehydrate. If you're going to be on the beach, if you're going to be walking under the sun, make sure you drink a lot of fluids, a lot of water, a lot of juice, a lot of electrolytes. Don't drink a lot of alcohol, because it's going to do the opposite reaction. Instead of hydrating, it's going to dehydrate. So drink a lot of water if you're going to be walking or spending yourself for a long time under the sun.
Now, a lot of us are down here on vacation, but then a lot of us live down here. And there are things we should all do to prepare ourselves for emergencies. And we're going to take a short break right now, and I'm going to come back and I'm going to get those plans for disaster plans that we need to follow and do more into detail. So We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
The Good Morning Wake Up Show will be back in a few minutes. You are listening to the Good Morning Wake Up Show.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Good Morning Wake Up Show. Once again, we are here with Wilbur Guerra. He is an emergency planner, a firefighter, a paramedic. He works here in Puerto Vallarta, has been here for about 16 years. And we want to talk a little bit more in details about family disaster plans. There's some great objectives that we need to follow. And I would like for you, if you don't mind, to give us how we can plan for an emergency, because it's very important to do. We never know when one's going to happen. There's tripping and falling, and there's being sunburned, but then there's big disasters, like the hurricane could come here, or maybe a major fire could break out. We don't know, but there's a very good philosophy to plan ahead and not try and do it later on when the emergency is going on. So if you wouldn't mind, Wilbur, go over your talking points on family disaster planning.
Okay. Well, a family disaster plan has the following objectives: that each and every family members know what to do before, during, and after a disaster or emergency through knowledge of basic measures of preparation and self-protection. First of all, one of the points that we need to do is know how safe our home or our surroundings are, as well as the measures we can carry out to correct or improve their security. Designate the safe evacuation routes, exits, and areas to avoid major risks. Also, to designate a meeting point for family members.
And well, that's very, very important, because people are just in here on vacation, or you may be down here and you may get one group says, I'm going to go over here and shop, and I'm going to go the other way, and I'm going to go the other way. An emergency can happen anytime.
Anytime.
And you need to know where to meet. So please pre-plan that.
Yeah, that's a very important point. Even for the people that live here in residence, also for the people that come from big families, and sometimes they want to go skydiving. Sometimes they want to go hiking. Sometimes they want to go to a restaurant. So make sure that in case of an emergency, you always have a meeting point. That way you'll feel safer, and that way you don't lose time or waste time trying to locate your family members, because they might be trying to do the same, and it's going to be hard.
Okay.
And if you have a meeting point for case of an emergency, it will save you a lot of hiccups. Also, we recommend tools and supplies to have on hand. I know that you guys, when you come on vacation, that's the last thing that you want to think about it. But for all the residents that live here, definitely, they should have their supplies and tools for protection and for communication.
And what are some of the supplies and tools we should have? I know I always like to have a flashlight, a radio, some food.
Well, we cannot number them up because there are so many, but the basis you just mentioned, food, canned food, clean water or bottled water, and stuff like that that can help you out to survive 2, 3, 4 days, as many as you need. And we all know that an emergency can happen anytime, so, and that's stuff that we consume all the time. So if you have on habit, you can make that a habit. Make sure you store food, and as you eat them, you be reabastation. How do you say it? When you use it and then you have to put back?
Resupply.
Then you have to resupply. That's it. And make that habit to have enough food and water at home. And if you use the same thing that you have on storage and you resupply, it's never going to go bad, it's never going to go old, and you're always going to have enough.
And you have to remember that many times, especially during a hurricane, you're not going to have electricity. And so you need to plan to have plenty of batteries, candles, things like that. Sometimes the gas might be shut off because of an emergency. You're going to have maybe a small Coleman cooking stove, and you can get those all over the sporting good places and all kinds of Walmart, Chedraui, places like that. Always have an alternative way to cook food.
Definitely, because luckily for us here in Puerto Vallarta, we have several stores, Walmart-like stores, that we can buy cheap stuff, our cheap cooking device that we can always have on a garage or for emergency purposes only. Mm-hmm. And also, one thing that we don't want to forget is to make sure that we have all our documentation in a safe place.
That's very important. One of the main things you should do is gather all your documentation. And if you don't mind, I want you to go over a list of the different type of documentation, because there's some things people just don't think about.
Definitely. One of the documentations that we come across that it is very important is the passport. But we also we gotta have birth certificates, marriage certificates, professional license and diplomas, bill on sales, military service records, prescription medication. That's very important too, because if you don't have those and you lose those, it might be hard to get a hold of your doctor and get those resupply.
Exactly.
So make sure that you have the prescription medications also available. Passports and visa, school certification, insurance policy. Here in Mexico now we have the culture of having car insurance, apartment insurance, home insurance, and that's very important to have. Credentials, what I mean that is like an ID and a passport that are going to identify yourself. Property deeds and other documents that might be important for your family. Mm-hmm. Make sure you have all those stores in a safe place. And just like I mentioned back on the meeting, on the hometown, make sure you have those online. Make sure you have those on a cloud, on a thumb drive, like one of the members suggested.
Yes.
That way you'll have those available all the time, and they will be waterproof.
Yeah, that's it. Very, very important. We're in the modern age. We have computers, and those thumb drives, you can scan and print copies of everything, but then you can also download to a thumb drive and also to the cloud, to where, say, you're away from your home, you have to leave Puerto Vallarta to go to, Guadalajara, Santa Maria del Oro. That's where I'm going to go because it's in a valley and nobody...
Just went Patricia. Just went Patricia last year, and when a couple of the hotels that were evacuating their guests, they were moved back to Guadalajara. And so when you have information, when you have that information on a thumb drive on a cloud, and it doesn't matter where you're at. That information will be available to you in case of an emergency. So it is very important to have.
Let's talk about some other things. Preparation. You have to plan ahead. And like we mentioned, setting an emergency meeting place in case there is an emergency. Say you're just out on the Malecone and you know, you're going to separate. Be sure you know somewhere you're going to meet 2 or 3 hours later in case somebody doesn't show up, then you know there may be something happen. Let's talk about something else. Keys and things like that to get in and out of your house, or different types of automobile. I mean, always have extra sets of
keys.
And make sure everybody in the family knows where they're at. Also, something that's very important, that especially if it's a medical emergency, blood types. People usually don't know what type of blood they are, A, B, O positive, O negative. It's very important not for just you to know it, and for others to know it also. Make sure your family members know it, because you may be unconscious. And the hospital can give you a transfusion much faster if you have, say, a ID in your wallet or something that states what type of blood type you are, instead of them having to take blood, test it, find out what it is. If you have, carry a card. Go to the Red Cross. Go to your doctor. Get a card stating what type of blood you have.
And all the diseases that you may have, too, because there are so many people, like you said, if we have somebody that is unconscious, that people is not going to be able to provide us with information that we might need to give them the proper treatment.
Yes, so, and you may be allergic to certain medications. It's not very hard to put that information on a little piece of card, a little piece of paper. Put it in your billfold. Put it in your purse. It's just very important. It could happen, and you could need it very quickly, and it'll save a lot of time and energy. What else?
Well, one of the also other things that we had to make sure is that when you're creating a family plan, or you are creating some type of emergency response, you have to make sure you involve the whole family. And just like yourself, bring your friends over, bring your family over, share information that they might need helpful for them to know, so they are able to provide you with the help that you might require. Information is very important and very sensitive too. But information like medical insurance, medical records, what type of illness or medicine you might require or might need, it is important that other people have it because you might not be able to provide that information to the emergency responders.
Well, there's many, many people that live down here by themselves, and they're retired. They don't have any family here. They have friends, but I don't think there's a friend that I have that knows my blood type or knows what kind of insurance I have. Write all of that down and give it to one or two of your neighbors or a trusted friend across town or something. So in case something does happen, they will be able to help in an emergency. And be sure to write down your friends' names and numbers. So, and leave it out somewhere obvious. I know it might not look so tidy, but if an emergency, if you have a heart attack or if you have some kind of slip and fall and the neighbors call 911 or somebody does and they come in and there's a piece of paper there with all your vital information, it'll help you. It could save your life. Very important.
Definitely. Also carry it with you. Just write it down on a piece of paper, put it in your wallet, put it in your purse, and carry all that information. That information will definitely help your life.
Okay. Well, we're going to take another break. We're going to come back with some closing thoughts and some other great tips for emergencies. We'll be right back.
The Good Morning Wake Up Show will be back in a few minutes. You are listening to the Good Morning Wake Up Show.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you again for listening. We're going to continue our conversation with Wilbur about emergency planning, do's and don'ts, things we should do, things we shouldn't do. You've been very generous with the information, giving out a lot of really, really great tips. Let's talk about some other things you want to cover.
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you once again for inviting me, and all this information will help us a lot as a first responders to provide a better service, definitely. As we come across emergency situation like this, one thing that I noticed with American or Canadian community is that they are very sensitive regarding where we can take them or what hospital do they feel comfortable being taken care of. And that will help us a lot of travel or help us to provide them with a better service. If they already know, if they're residents, for example, if they're residents, most of them, they already have a certain hospital that they've been taking care of.
Mm-hmm.
They're familiar with the doctor, they're familiar with the nurses. So all that information, when someone on emergency business asks you, where do we want us to take a measure, do you have that information available? Even if you are unconscious, then we can go through your stuff to make sure where you've been taking care of that are easy for us to find so we can take it to the same place.
Yeah, be sure to have a list of your prescriptions, and if you have a resident doctor, be sure his name is down, or a physical therapist, somebody like that. And if you're new to the area, take a half a day, contact Pamela Thompson with Medical Matters. She's a great, great source for all types of information. Say you need a specialist, a doctor, that you don't know who it is here. Pam Thompson of Medical Matters is very, very helpful in that type of situation. She can recommend good hospitals. She can recommend insurance companies that can help you, and health insurance companies. So contact me here at the station, or you can always email me at 104.3wakeupshow@gmail.com, and I can help put you in contact with Pamela Thompson or Kelly Train or any of the other people we've talked about this morning. Let's talk about a couple of the other things. Why is it important to even plan or have a family disaster in your home?
Well, definitely that's one of the questions that we all should do to ourselves. And the importance to have a family disaster plan or an emergency plan is definitely to avoid putting our lives as well as the life of our loved ones at great risk or in danger. So a lot of times we can prevent for having ourselves an emergency. Sometimes we cannot. But then again, having a plan, how to react to that particular event will help you have a better coming.
Uh,
during our plans, I know this sounds like you're in third or fourth grade again, but when you're having an emergency, you need to stay calm. That's very important. And what are some other things we should do?
Definitely.
Don't get overexcited. I mean, it is an emergency, but if you stay calm, if you're a little bit more relaxed and kind of pre-plan it, you can kind of go through it. It's like I said, it's kind of like fifth grade. We shouldn't be running, shouting, yelling.
Just like I told you guys when we were on the town meeting. It bring me back to high school. Not shouting, not running, not pushing. Stay calm. It's very important. And even though it is easier to say now that we do not have an emergency to say that, it is always keeping calm, staying calm will help you to do better decisions. And once you do that, you'll be better off.
There are some ways we can plan ahead not to have an emergency, right? There are certain things you should have in your house, like a fire extinguisher or a couple of fire extinguishers. But then there's some other things that you can reduce your risk of having a fire or having other problems by keeping certain things out of your house. So, you know, don't store gasoline or paint thinners, things like that, right next to your water heater.
Definitely.
I mean, it sounds like very common sense, but, you know, sometimes the common sense is what causes big problems and emergencies.
Well, one of the things that we definitely is going to reduce the risk of having been emergencies, knowing what to do in case you have those risks. And if you know what to do by approaching the people that can provide you with that information, do not hesitate to come over to the station and ask us, what should we do? Can you guys come over to my apartment, to my house, and help me to create some different plan or evacuation routes? We will gladly definitely help you. We can send somebody, either myself or somebody else, to call and help you guys to develop a specific plan for you for emergency in case you're in a house. But then again, an emergency may happen anytime, and an emergency may happen while you are home, while you are shopping, while you are at a movie theater. So always be prepared. Try to put yourself at danger, you know, and also let other people know where you at all the time.
I know one thing, there's a lot of exposed wiring. The electricity can start a fire very quickly, especially if you push like a bag of clothes or a suitcase or something up next to some exposed electric wires. Those are some things that you can come over to somebody's house or apartment
and then
and walk through and point out and say, hey, this is, you don't know this is flammable, but it's too close to this fire where you have your hot water heater. Or this has a very, very low temperature that it can explode. Don't leave it out in the sun 8 hours, 9 hours a day. There's little tips that you all can give people just by a quick walkthrough, and it's gratis, it's free. You all come over and do that.
Definitely.
For people to help and prevent problems.
Yes, one of the things that we have identified here in Puerto Vallarta on our fires, and it is not because natural elemental. The fires that we have had here in Puerto Vallarta are mostly because people abuse out of the electrical cords, people abuse having too much candles, you know, and it's nothing bad about it, but there should be certain precautions regarding where to place those candles or nearby to what flammable products place those candles. And also, you know, the most Christmas season is coming, it's just around the corner, and everybody likes to overheat their houses with electrical cords because they have lights everywhere. So make sure that if you don't know how to properly do it, ask us how to properly do it. We will gladly come over to your house and help you to develop a safer place to do it, a safer way to do it.
Also, something that's very important, and you can save a life very quickly. Almost everywhere you look around here, we have the ocean, but we also have a lot of swimming pools. Be sure you have a rope. Be sure you have a life preserver. A ring that you can throw in. You know, I've had my granddaughters down here, and they're both very good swimmers. But still, there's a lot of people that come down here and they swim. They get exhausted. They're having too much fun, and they can go below. Be sure you watch your kids.
Too much to drink sometimes?
Too much to drink? Yeah, I've seen people that are passed out in their little floaties in the back of their swimming pool after they played golf all day. And you can tump over and you can drown. Be sure you prepare around the pool. Be sure you don't run. I mean, it's common sense,
But there's so many things that we're down here having fun, and we don't think about. Our common sense kind of goes out the window sometimes.
Well, that's a big point. Using your common sense. Identifying the risk by just taking yourself 2 or 3 minutes, looking where you're at, thinking what you're doing, or planning ahead or what you're going to do and how you're going to do it.
Well, Wilbur, we've covered a lot of stuff today, and I want to say thank you once again for helping us cover all this. It's very, very important. Again, if someone needs to get a hold of the emergency services, it's 911.
That is correct.
But is there a general number, a generic number, if they want to call you all, or a website they can go to contact you all to come out and do the walk-through or come out and hold a little seminar between homeowners associations, things like that? Can you give that kind of contact information, please?
Sure, I will just look for it, so I'll provide you with the proper information. But then again, for emergencies, it's 911, and all kind of information. What I mean, all kind, is police, emergency, or fire. But also, you can one of the points that I would like to talk about is that we are open 24 hours here, 365 days of the year, and everybody's welcome to come over. Wherever you are a firefighter from another country or wherever you just want to get information, feel free.
And if you're an emergency responder, I don't know if you all have volunteers where people can come and help, volunteer to be an emergency responder. Say you're an ambulance driver in the United States, or say you know, a nurse or a doctor. If there is a major emergency, they need to have contact information. So, again, the main fire station here is from the Sheridan Hotel, which is on the main highway. You can go up Avenue of the Americas about 6 blocks, and you'll see a huge building on the north side of the street. It's red and white, and that's the main fire station, plus there's fire trucks parked outside and some ambulances. So it's very easy to find. But also, there's a contact phone number, if you wouldn't mind giving that out.
I got it. The phone number, well, first of all, the address is Avenida Las Americas 565. That's where the building is located. Avenida Las Americas 565.
Okay.
Colonia Lázaro Cárdenas, all right? And also, the phone number that you guys can call us is 178-8800 or 178-8000.
Extension 3201.
That's correct. And also we have a website that is www.bomberosvallarta.gov.mx.
Give that out one more time, a little slower.
That will be www.bomberosvallarta, just like it sounds, all entirely, .gov as a government, .mx, like Mexico, MX.
Well, I want to say one more time, thank you very, very much for taking your time away from your busy job to come and help us prepare for the emergencies, plan for emergencies, to know what to do, how to do it, and we just can't say thank you enough for helping and everything you do for going out to keep people safe, saving people's lives. My hat's off to you, if I ever wore a hat, but it's off to you. I want to congratulate you for the great job that you've, and not just you, Wilbur, but your entire staff. I don't know how many people are down here, but probably 40, 50, 60?
Per shift. We are around 250 elements, and
wow.
We work 24 hours trying to protect or making sure that everything is safe for you guys to come over and have a great time.
Well, Wilbur's about 6'5". He's a very distinguished-looking man. He's always wearing dark with orange, the dark pants with orange shirts.
And my hairdo.
His hair's almost as long as mine. But anyway, if you see him walking around town, if you see a fire truck, if you see an emergency, go over and say hi. Go visit with him. You may have a question for him. They're very great people. A lot of them speak English. A lot of them don't. But, you know, there's always people like Wilbur that grew up in this Mexico but have learned very good English. So go by, say hello, visit with them, and you may have a question. But they're not shy. They're here to help us. They're here to protect us. And, again, thank you very much for your time, for coming on the Good Morning Wake Up Show.
Well, Mike, once again, thanks for inviting us, and we're here to help you. Definitely.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more of the show here in just a minute. We'll be right back.
I knew a man, Bojangles, and he danced for you. shoes, silver hair and ragged shirt and baggy pants. He did the old soft shoe. He jumped so high, he jumped so high, and then he lightly touched down. I met him in a cell in New Orleans. I was down and out. He looked to me to be the eyes of age. As he spoke right out, he talked of life. He talked of life. He laughed, clicked his heels, and stared. Well, he said his name Bojangles, and he danced a lick across the cell. He grabbed his pants and spread his stance. Whoa, he jumped so high, and then he clicked his heels. He let go of the laugh. He let go of the laugh. Shook back his clothes all around. Mr. Bojangles, Mr. Bojangles, Mr. Bojangles, won't you dance?
Well, I hope you enjoyed the two interviews we had this morning. Very, very good, important information. I want to say thank you very much to Wilbur and Dr. Priestley again for coming on to the Good Morning Wake Up Show. I apologize a little bit about the acoustics on the last interview. We were at the fire station and in the room that echoed quite a bit. We tried to help acoustically the best we could, but it was just kind of hard, and I apologize for the echoing in that. Well, I want to mention once again that on July 3rd, it's a Wednesday, from 11 o'clock till 2 o'clock, we're going to be having the graduation ceremonies for the SWAM program. If you're not familiar with the SWAM program, it's our senior citizens education program that we have here each and every semester. It's for any person living in the Bay of Banderas that is over 60 years of age. We have 30 different classes ranging from beginning and intermediate Spanish. So if you're an English speaker and want to learn Spanish, you can come here and learn to speak and write that language. We also have, for the Spanish speakers, English classes. And we also have French. So if you're into linguistics and want to learn a different language, which if you're an English speaker like most of us are that listen to the show here, and you want to learn Spanish, it's a great opportunity to come and do that. We also have great classes like history of the Bay of Banderas, history of Mexico, cultural. We have swimming, we have physical fitness, yoga, dancing, theater, art, painting, photography, computers. There's a lot of different curriculums, 30 some odd different ones. And the sign up for this will be again in probably mid-August. I'll have a lot more information on the first show back in August after our break. But again, if you're in the SWAM program, and I know many, many of the SWAM students, which is, there's about 400 of them, matter of fact. I know many of the students do listen to the show. And so graduation will be Wednesday, July 3rd at 11 a.m. at the main auditorium. And then, of course, they usually have some type of little luncheon afterwards. So be sure to come to that, to the SWAM graduation. Also, I want to remind you that next Saturday at 10 a.m., we're having another Science Saturday for the kids and young adults. This week's topic will be Internet and social networks. It'll be a great opportunity, and I highly urge the adults to come with the kids, especially for this one, because social networking and working on the computers and knowing the ins and outs of the Internet is very, very important, and all the youngsters need to learn how to use it properly, but they need guidance from us adults to keep them away from the sites we don't want them going to that could be harmful to them.
And so I think it's very, very important that us adults do step in and help the kids with knowing how to use the internet and other social networking sites. So we're going to have Doctora Cardenas Lopez, Georgina Cardenas Lopez, will be teaching and educating the young kids next week and some of us adults all about internet and social networks. So again, that'll be next Saturday, the 22nd at 10 a.m. here at the main campus auditorium. So again, I want to say thank you very, very much for tuning in today to the Good Morning Wake Up Show. We appreciate the opportunity every Saturday to come here and educate you all a little bit. Hope you enjoy the program. And be sure to go to the university website, www.cuc.udg.mx, and check out all the exciting events that are happening here at the University of Guadalajara, CUCOSTA. Once again, thank you very much, Jonathan, for all your help today. We'll be back next Saturday with another version of the Good Morning Wake Up Show. Please be sure to tune in, and thank you for listening. Have a great week. And don't forget, tomorrow is Father's Day, so be sure to celebrate the day with your father, or if you're a father, celebrate it with your kids, and have a great day. Thank you very much. Adios.
104.3 FM University Radio Network has brought you the Good Morning Wake Up Show. Be sure to tune in and listen next Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. Hasta la vista.